Well, hello and welcome to another episode of She Speaks Stories. This is Katie.
And this is Julia.
And we just so firmly believe that stories change lives. Don't we, Julia? It's not cliche with us.
Oh, yeah.
We are both big readers and absolutely love stories in the written form and in the passed down oral form. We both love to meet people and to hear stories of God come out of just every ordinary people's lives. And so today we have a beautiful young guest with us, Sarah Wood, who, Julia, I don't think I've even told you about Sarah.
No, and I want to hear.
Just quickly, I met Sarah several years ago at our church, but she's very young. So our circles never really crossed much until last year, exactly this very same week last year. Wow. A bunch of us flew to a conference together in Connecticut, and I happened to sit next to Sarah one night at a restaurant, or maybe it was in the hotel lobby. And again, the way we love stories, I'm like, hey, what's your story? And she poured it out and I loved every minute of it. Aww. And so I asked Sarah if she would tell us her story on the podcast today. Now, listeners, you know how we, before we did like a whole Advent series, we were doing a theme on the different kinds of faith stories that different people share about God. And we talk quickly, the three different kinds in a way are your conversion story when you first came to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. And then we talked about affirmation stories where God just affirms that he's real, he's with you, he loves you. And then we talked about transformation stories where God gets some kind of spiritual truth into your mind and really transforms the way you're living out following after him. So three different kinds of stories. Anyway, yeah. What I remember about Sarah is her conversion story was delightful. So I'll be quiet. Let's get Sarah on here to tell her own story. So Sarah Wood, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
We're so excited. Yeah, we're so here. Excited to hear your story. And if Katie had heard the story a year ago and she's still excited about it, I'm like, okay, all right. Let's go. Let's hear it.
And truthfully, Sarah, the things I remember most is that you were from Michigan and we're huge Michigan fans over here. And the Midwest cold. I saw Detroit just got a whole dumping.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And that you were a waitress. And I love that. I waitressed for years and years and years.
Same.
Did you waitress?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was probably, it's silly because I've had other jobs, but it was one of my most, like, I had the best time. It was so fun because every day you're meeting new people, again, hearing stories, talking to strangers. It involves food and giving people food. And I love food. So, yeah. It's maybe not the most glamorous job, but it was a lot of fun.
I loved waitressing too. Yeah. I actually, to this day, will still have dreams sometimes about waitressing, that I'm a waitress again. I'm like, and they're not nightmares.
No.
I don't know what's up. So anyway, Sarah, thank you for coming on. And Julie and I are just going to let you dive right in and tell us how you came to start having a serious relationship with God through Jesus, understanding that God is a personal God, not just a being out there in space or, you know, some kind of theological concept. Darling.
We'll try not to interrupt you, but we're not very good at not interrupting. So
thank you again for having me. I feel very humbled and honored to be here. So I will just start with, I was raised Catholic. So we grew up and we went to church pretty regularly.
We went to catechism Wednesday night, and I did my first communion. And when it came time for confirmation, which is around age 13-ish, I didn't fully understand what the purpose of that was. So I didn't want to do it just to do it, or just because my sister did it, or the church was telling me to do, you know, the church wasn't telling me, but just because that's the next, you know, step for me. And I wasn't trying to be rebellious in any way. I think I just wasn't quite there yet. And my parents, they weren't trying to push it on me. So the older that we got, and we got more involved with sports and other activities, sort of the less we went to church. I don't know that it was not because it wasn't not a priority, but we just got busy and just more involved with things in the school.
And so I get that, Sarah. We promised not to interrupt, but I have to interrupt. I love that your parents didn't force that on you. And that you really thought deeply, because I was raised Catholic also, and I will never forget my confirmation. I was a senior. They decided to do confirmation later for my age group. I don't know why, so we could make a serious decision.
Hey friends, Julia here. Hey, did you know that She Speaks Stories has a newsletter? Yeah, we do. To subscribe to it, just head over to our website, shespeaksstories.com. We are also on socials, so you can find us on Facebook and Instagram by just searching She Speaks Stories. We post and share all kinds of fun things. So following us is a great way to stay connected and updated on all of that fun. We just love our story community, and we hope you can join in on the sharing of stories because, as you know, we say all the time, stories change lives.
Okay. And I started thinking about it, and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to be confirmed. And my parents literally said, you want to eat and have a roof over your head? You will get confirmed. And I'm like, they were dead serious. They're like, you live in our house, you're going to be confirmed, and you're going to do what the Catholic Church has to do. I'm like, oh, all right.
Yes.
And I like that you said, Sarah, that you weren't rebellious.
Right.
Rebellious. I'm like, all right. And so a whole group of us went out drinking that night. And I mean, it was bad. I hadn't slept all night. I'm standing before the bishop where he does his thing, and I'm literally fried. Oh, oh my. I don't know why I felt a need to tell you that, listeners, but I think what Sarah is getting at, and maybe what I'm getting at, is religious rituals are not the thing that are really going to connect you with God. I love, Sarah, that you thought about it.
Sure.
And that your parents gave you space.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep going.
Okay. Yes. I don't feel like I was ever fully rooted in the Catholic faith. So when I met Eric, I was 19 when we met, and that's when I was working in the restaurant, and he was working at one across the way from each other. So we knew of each other. We spent a lot of time together that first week. And when we talked about his plans of going to church on Sunday, I was intrigued because he sounded so excited about it. The way he talked about church was different than what I remember about church, the church that I grew up in. So I actually invited myself to go to church with him.
Love it.
If you know me, that is not me. I am not normally forward like that, but
I felt
like he had an excitement for it, so I was wanting to experience that also. So one of our first official dates was a wedding, and his best friend was getting married, and he was the best man, and I was a little anxious about going to the wedding. since he had a lot of duties that day, that he would be, not that he would leave me out of it, but he had just had the responsibilities of being in the bridal party. So I thought I would just kind of be there, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, he would be distracted for sure.
Yeah. So I felt like I kind of would be at the wedding alone. But we went to the ceremony. And then after the ceremony, a man cornered me in the parking lot of the church. And it was Eric's spiritual dad, if you will. He wasn't raised in a Christian home. He actually was raised in a broken home, and this family at the church just sort of helped him along the way and helped him to grow in his faith. So the dad came up to me, and I remember being sandwiched between him and a light post in the
from a parking lot there, and I can vividly remember
it feeling like, what is he about to ask me or say or do? Or
he asked me what my intentions were for Eric
and if he were to become a preacher, if I would follow him anywhere. And it was very strange to me at the time because I had never met him before. So he didn't know me. I didn't know him. And he's just coming at me with these questions. But then
the most important question,
then it was, if you died today, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven?
And I answered all of the questions the best I knew how.
I said something along the lines of, I would like to think so, or I hope so. But it really, again, got me thinking. So then we drove, Eric and I drove from the ceremony to the reception, and so we're in the car, and I kind of was just quiet at first. I thought about what he just asked me, and I felt like, I felt like I grew up in church, so how come
I've never heard this before or anything about this. So I started to ask Eric questions, and then he pulled over on the side of the road just right outside of the reception,
and he didn't have a Bible on hand, but he knew all the verses.
And so he led me through the Romans Road, and I prayed
and I accepted Jesus as my savior. And I just remember tears streaming down my face as I thought about just the goodness of God, just how he would just save me just the way I am. And
we walked into that reception then, and I no longer,
it's going to make me cry right now.
I love it. I love it.
Yes. I just felt like I'm not alone. I felt like the people there, I was amongst family.
And I feel like
I felt like that because they were, because of the
bond that we share in Christ.
Well, Sarah, again, an interruption. When you say the Roman Road, some of our listeners are like, wait, what is the Roman Road? And I know I said that. And it's not an actual thing in the Bible. It is verses from the Apostle Paul in the New Testament book of Romans that makes the gospel extremely clear. So, Sarah, I love that you said Eric knew those verses. He had memorized that we are all sinners. We're all lost. But the grace of God, he sent his son to save us from our sins. And you can tell I do not have the Roman Road verses memorized. But here's my question to you. As he said those verses, yes, you're listening with your mind and your understanding, but I also love that it touched your spirit, your soul, because you said you wept. And I'm not saying everybody that has an experience with scripture has to be emotionally touched, but I love that it wasn't just head knowledge with you at that point.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that for sure is when it transferred and spoke to my heart too. And I just pictured, you know, my, like the doors of my heart opening up and Christ walking in, and it's like, I'm changed now, you know, I feel like I have a place here. I belong. And I just, it was just an amazing experience that day. I feel like a day that I'll never forget. But yes, he had put those verses to memory. And that those are some of the same verses that I first learned as I continued to go to church with him.
Yeah. And I feel like that just shows too how important it is to have scripture memorized. I think sometimes I'm like, well, I'll always have access to a Bible or my phone. So why would I need to log it in here when I can just look it up on Bible Gateway or whatever? But he didn't have his Bible right then and there. And what if he had that locked away and he could have said, you know, well, there's some really good Bible verses about it. And the connection wouldn't have been made because it's the Holy Spirit, you know, his words were being said audibly, but it was the Holy Spirit that was moving and saving and doing all of the work. So our job is to have those words to be able to say them. And there isn't always an instance where you have a Bible. So the challenge to memorize scripture, I mean, that's convicting to hear that. Be like, oh,
well,
wow.
I'm super convicted, Julia. I'm going to get out my Romans and get those verses.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing about me and my memory. If I'm on the spot, it doesn't come quickly.
Yes.
but back to your story, sir. You know what else I love is that you were curious, you were questioning, you asked questions, and then you just immediately responded to the Holy Spirit. And listeners, I guess I'm pointing that out because it is that simple.
Right.
I mean, salvation, I've heard it said it costs Christ everything. It's not cheap, but it's free for us in an instant. We don't have to understand every jit and tottle of the Bible and all the verses to accept, receive, and believe. And I love, Sarah, how it just happened for you like that. And then, so then what happened? You went into the reception. So tell us kind of the after part now.
So afterwards, I continued going to church with him, and it started out just on Sunday mornings. And then of course I wanted to go back on Sunday nights, and my parents, I think they kind of questioned that. They thought, you went to church on Sunday morning and you want to go back again? You know, how is that? They thought maybe it's the same type of service. But it had a totally different feel. We were serving in different areas Sunday morning. And so Sunday night is more just like family and us getting fed. Mm-hmm. And then I started going Wednesday night, and then they for sure probably thought I lost it.
What are you, in some kind of cult? Why do you want to keep going to church?
Yes, but I'm sure they could also see a change too. I don't feel like, I feel like I grew up in a good home morally. So I don't know that a ton of stuff changed outward. But stuff was changing on the inside. So I think the more that they saw that, they were more accepting of my decisions.
Yeah.
I love that. And obviously you married Eric, he became a pastor, and you moved to Fredericksburg, and I met you at the church.
Oh, yes. And I think looking back at that too, it is funny because I probably answered, yes, of course I would follow him. And we did. We went from Michigan to Pittsburgh. And from Pittsburgh, we moved to Alabama to help a church plant.
And then that led us here. Wow. And
he's still pastoring. So I did just think that that was crazy, because in my mind, I thought when he asked me that question, yeah, right. He's not headed down that road. Okay.
You know. I'm not going to have to follow him anywhere, but yeah. As it turns out, that's amazing.
Just a beautiful story, Sarah. And we thank you so much for taking the time and the vulnerability to just share how you started walking with Jesus in a real and powerful way.
And we have been talking about all these different affirmation, transformation, and conversion stories. And one of the biggest things that we talk about with conversion stories specifically are how different they all are. And they're all beautiful and unique. And so I feel like the more we talk about them, the more people that have car ride conversions are going to be like, huh, me too. It doesn't have to be this, you know, huge dramatic thing. It can be. And those are just as inspiring and wonderful. But I think we should really embrace and celebrate all the conversion stories, because it's still a sinner coming to know who Jesus is, saying, I don't want to try to do it on my own anymore. I accept all the things that Jesus offers me. I want to be made new. And we all are. We're born ugly, no matter what sin. All sins are the same. So I think the more we hear these stories, the more exciting it is to be like, yeah, look at all the differences. Look at the intentionality that Jesus put in your life to walk you to the point where you would meet him. And that's beautiful.
Very, very beautiful.
Yeah.
We love stories. They change lives. Obviously, the Holy Spirit is the change agent.
Right.
But using people's stories just to clarify and help us make sense of our own stories. So listeners, we hope you enjoyed Sarah and this episode of She Speaks Stories. And we'll see you next time. We love you.